previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
All right. What accomplishment are you most proud of?
It would have to be the time when I went with Jeff McBride, Eat It Bake, and we went to a Cici's Pizza Buffet. And even though I'm not a real big guy, I can eat a lot. And we decided to see how many pieces of pizza I could eat that day. And I finally bonked at 54 slices of pizza.
Wow.
In one day?
Well, it sounds like one sitting.
I did not move for the next couple of days. I was like one of those pythons that swallowed like a feral pig and just has to lay there for days and days as it's digesting it. But it was worth it.
To the Loyal Littles podcast
on the WTFC podcast network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey,
Littles.
Wow, Roxy.
I'm very happy.
A little pep in your step there.
Big pep in my step.
I'm back.
Yay.
We are in the WTFC podcast studios here in New York City.
Yeah. Cool Aunt Claire's table.
At Cool Aunt Claire's table.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good to be back, Roxy.
I'm so happy.
But what the F is with the snowstorm?
I don't know. Well, it is winter, Chuck.
I mean, no, sorry. It's almost Valentine's. What is today? Palentine's Day? Galentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not happy. Yesterday, there was this freaking snowstorm. I mean, everyone's blaming me. Like, I brought all this cold weather from Wisconsin back to New York City. It's a little better today, but this is ridiculous. I'm like, I haven't worn boots in Wisconsin in like 2 weeks.
I know.
3 weeks.
Now all of a sudden you come to New York and you gotta wear them.
This is ridiculous. Don't like it. Don't like it one bit. Except I do like being back.
Yes.
It's great. Happy Galentine's Day. Is that what you said they're calling it? Is that what today is?
I guess.
You looked
I
up
mean,
a few of these?
Well, there. I've heard of Galentine's Day, Palentine's Day, and then of course the traditional Valentine's Day.
Well, that's
Day.
Tomorrow.
Well, right.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think it's whatever you want to call it.
I think it's a big scam, Roxy.
It's a Hallmark.
Well, do they make Valentine's Day cards?
Probably at this point.
See, I thought Palentine Day, because I'm going to get into this in a second. The artistic director and the president, or I forget her title, Susan from Skylight, she was, you know, doing the priest curtain speeches every day.
Yeah, right.
And she was saying, you know, they're coming up, you know, of course, you know, gift cards, you know, it makes a great Palentine. You know, she said mm-hmm. Valentine's, but then she was trying to be cute and be like, or Palentine's Day.
Yeah, because...
Or
you know, show some love to not
no.
just someone you're
well,
romantically
of course.
With.
Of course.
You know?
Okay, fair enough. But I'm also like, who made these up?
Also, you know? Don't forget to love yourself.
Of course.
I don't know what that would be called.
Cupping? No.
Wait, what?
Is that what that's called, Roxy?
No.
Quick report there.
The They're marks, fading.
The
they
marks
have faded.
Are just about gone.
Yes.
You know?
Just in time for Chuck to get home to yes. see them up close in person.
Roxy, that was gross.
It was, listen.
I'm sure it felt great.
It
I'm
felt
sure it
amazing.
Felt great.
And
I don't
it
think I could
me.
Do that.
I think you could. You, I think I you'd
I've
be
always
surprised.
Wanted to. I thought, oh, it's going to make, it's like a built-in deep tissue massage sort of thing. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But
I
then,
mean, look, mine weren't even on, mine were barely on for 5 minutes. And
oh, that's
it was,
it?
Yeah, that's all it needed. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's
Still.
Quick. Mm-hmm.
It just, it, you looked like an alien. I'm sorry. It was just gross.
But a cool alien.
Yeah. I mean, 8 of them?
I had 8. Mm-hmm.
That's just, yeah. Anyway.
Yep.
By the way, ironically, it's also International Condom Day.
Oh.
And then it just says Kiss Day. It doesn't say national oh. or international.
Okay, but is it Kiss like, or is it Kiss like the band?
No, I'm pretty sure it's
or is it
the
both?
First. No, I'm sure it's the first.
Okay.
Good for you, though, on that.
Why not?
I would never, yeah. Yeah. Can we go back to the cupping real quick?
Yeah.
Michelle Pendleton, episode 45, she said, now I understand why that leaves such big bruises.
Yes.
So apparently...
It's pulling everything out. It's sucking out all the bad stuff.
Sucking out of the what? No.
The bad stuff. The pain.
The bad stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
It's releasing it. So it could come to the surface. That's what bruising is. It's when like an injury or something comes, moves to the surface and then eventually leaves your body as it fades.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Sure. We'll go with that. Should I put a bow? Let's put a bow on my experiences
yeah.
and trips and all that stuff. So obviously another just huge thank you to all the Milwaukee peeps. Obviously special shout out to episode 2, Steve
mm-hmm,
Osbolt, the
mm-hmm.
great and flavorful Emerald City Catering. Yeah.
Reach out. Yeah.
I mean, it's just been, the love is just amazing, obviously,
yeah.
from all around, all the Littles,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then Jason giving us the tour of
oh
the
my
ballpark.
Gosh, that was so cool.
That was great.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love a good baseball park.
Yeah. Now we're going to have to go back, Roxy. We're definitely going to have to go
back. Oh, and see a game? Absolutely. Yeah.
But, you know, getting back to my experience, overall, I would say it was a very positive experience. Obviously, we had some fun with the hotel situation and stuff like that in the beginning. And of course, as with always, I mean, a lot of you that don't know the behind the scenes of putting a show together from start to finish, from literally taping out the floor in the rehearsal studio to then going through rehearsals and tech and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to choose my next words carefully because, and we've said this before, you know how you just become a family.
Yeah.
And this group of people at the Skylight, they, I don't know if it was Doug who handpicked them. Doug Clemens directed the production. They're just such a great group of people. Well, you met all, pretty much all of them.
I met pretty much all of them and they were so lovely.
And I almost wanted to say like, you get sad. You know, the last week you're sad, you know, and all of a sudden, oh my God, I'm coming home. And you're like, wait, you don't want to come home? And it's not that. That's what I'm saying. I got to choose my words carefully here. It's not that, but you just get.
Yeah, you get close.
For a month and a half every day for like 8 hours, you're with these people.
Right.
And I mean, we only get one day off a week and stuff like that. And then it seems like even more so when you're in tech. Yeah. I don't know how to explain
that. You're together a lot, especially if you're traveling or if you're coming in from somewhere else. To be a part of a group and become a part of a group. And I mean, that's what I was worried about with you and me, with our relationship was after tour, because tour is, you know, shows, it's like you're in a bubble.
Yeah.
Was it a showmance? Was it just that, or was it going to be more? And so, I mean, you get close very quickly because you spend so much time together and you're doing this big thing together.
Well, right down to even after rehearsals and after the show.
Yep.
But we're going to come back to that after our Meet the Littles guest, because we have a special guest.
Yes.
Because we, of course, have to talk about the Super Bowl briefly. Mm-hmm. Now, our things that we talk about the Super Bowl, not the game. We don't care about the game.
No.
But we do have a special guest, of course, coming on to say hi. And we're going to talk all about the commercials and halftime show, stuff like that. So I just did want to say a big thank you to Skylight Music Theater. It was a really blast. It was a really good time. I'm glad Roxy could come out to see the show.
Yeah,
and
meet everybody.
Again, thank you to the Littles who came out to see the show. I mean, it just still blows my mind that some, like Dean and Damascus, all the way from Damascus coming out, flew into Chicago, came down to see the show, or came up, I should say.
Yes.
I'm learning my geography, too, in the Midwest. but yeah, it was just a great time by all. The locals were great. We met some new locals, some celebrity locals who are going to come on the podcast, Roxy.
Yeah.
So we're looking very forward to that. We got to have breakfast with one.
Yes.
And yeah, it was just a good time overall. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Roxy, let's get to our Meet the Littles guest so we can then get to our other stuff, shall we? All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
Hi, this is Wes Blackburn from Tallahassee, Florida, and you're listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
Anything last night? I walked into the room and held you tight. Too blind to see the shadows on the candlelight. And you walked away, the yellow room turned blue. I fell in love with you. Wake up, let's run around. Gonna take you all the crummy places that I found in this movie town.
We are being played in this episode by a good friend of the podcast, Dante Mazzetti. And we've played a lot of his stuff in the past. We haven't played it in a while. This is his brand new single. Just came out. It's called Wake Up. Now, when we say, you know, we've done this before, where you, oh, you can hear him anywhere, you truly can hear Dante's stuff anywhere. Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, YouTube Music, didn't know that was a thing. iTunes, SoundCloud, Deezer? Is that a thing? Pandora, Amazon Music, Bandcamp, all over the place. But the best place to go hear all his stuff and find out more about Dante is just head on over to his website, DanteMazzetti.com. That's DanteMazzetti.com. We'll put all that in the show notes, but the most important thing, we will play Dante's brand new single, Wake Up, in its entirety at the end of the podcast.
If this is a once in a lifetime or a sailor song, and I don't care if it's forever or one night stand, let the string man play the rubber band. I'll take it as I can. I will understand. wake up, let's run around. Gonna take you all.
All right, all you loyal littles, it's now time to
meet the littles.
And Roxy.
Chuck.
Another one to add to the total. Another Buckeye.
Yeah.
How great is that? There's so many all over Ohio, but especially in the Columbus area. And that's where we're going back to. So let's please welcome to the podcast, Jess Svoboda. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
It is going well. Thank you so much for having me on. And you mentioned there's so many people, the connective tissue we've just mentioned, just off the air kind of chatting, four or five people that we already, that I know that have already been on this show. And so it's a tremendous honor for me to be able to join them. Again, goes to show what the famous connective tissue really is real.
Well, and one, I believe Seth Shaner, you said episode 207, you said you went to college together?
Yes, he was an Ohio State journalism major right before I was, and I've known Seth for 20-some years now. That's probably the one I go back the furthest with, but he is as loyal as they come, I would say. And I know he's had a number of emails read on the show, which is the Kornheiser show, which is every time it happens, I get a text from him. So it's a tremendous honor for him. And so Seth actually has been, in the media. I've been on his podcast before. It really is a small world.
Sure. Well, I was going to say now's your opportunity to tell him to eat it, but he was episode 207. So he even beat you to this punch. So I don't know. But we'll make up with content, I'm sure. So, Jeff, what we like to do is we like to go way back, meet you, then we'll get into those other littles that we know here in the Columbus area. But let's meet you. Take us way back. Where'd you go to school? All those kind of things.
So I'm originally from the west side of Cleveland, a city called Lorain, Ohio, which is known, it used to be known for industry. There was a steel mill and a Ford plant and all the things that Ohio no longer has anymore. But it was a good place to grow up, right on the shore of Lake Erie, right outside of Cleveland. And I ended up going to Ohio State for my undergraduate degree. And so came down to Columbus and fell in love with the Columbus area. Did not know any littles at the time, but it turned out to be a very good place for there to be a lot of littles. Came here, went to Ohio State for 4 years and got my degree, a journalism major with also a minor in political science, which I have not used whatsoever since graduating. And the funny part was I was the valedictorian of my high school class. And everyone said, like, do you want to be a doctor or do you want to be a lawyer? And I said, I want to write about sports for a living. And it's the only thing I really ever wanted to do. And everyone said, well, there's no money in that. And they were generally right. But it turned out to be a lot of fun, I must say. So I still do that to this day, working for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Wow. Amazing.
He's on top of this, Roxy. He's done this before, I can tell.
Yeah. This is perfect.
He's already answered all the questions, my follow-up questions.
The pro.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right.
No, it's good.
We'll just get it right out there because I'm always curious about those kind of things. So when did you know this is what you wanted to do? Did you write for the high school? Did you have a high school paper? Things like that?
Yeah. So the funny part was we did not have a high school paper, but we had a middle school paper. At Whittier Middle School, shout out to that. And Mr. Stewart, who was my English teacher at the time, also ran the student newspaper. It was just a couple pages. There wasn't any sort of groundbreaking material in this middle school newspaper, but I pretty much did everything. I typed it out. I did interviews. I wrote stories. I did whatever you had to do to, I don't even honestly remember what it looked like, but that was kind of my first introduction to it. And on top of that, and this is where it gets really nerdy. Even when I was younger, before I got to high school, I would like watch sporting events on television and take notes and then write my own version of the newspaper afterward. And so it's fair to say this is about the only thing I really ever wanted to do. And so I'm glad it worked out, because if it did not, I have absolutely no idea where I would have ended up. But I kind of knew, I always loved sports. I mean, sports is the only thing that really has ever captivated me in my life from the time I was probably 4 or 5 years old. So I always wanted to be a part of it somehow. And there's all those stories of, I realized at some point I wasn't going to make it, but I think I probably knew pretty early on, like the last pick for the flag football team and like the right fielder in the Little League Baseball League, when I was like in third grade, like that I probably wasn't the world's most athletic guy. And now, I can play sports at a competent level, but obviously I was never going to make it to any of the big leagues. So I guess somehow early on, I just knew that being a sports journalist was going to be the way to go. And which dovetails into sort of probably why I'm here is that, very early on, I discovered a Tony Kornheiser, who was an incredibly talented journalist, the kind of someone I followed from the very beginning and really was, I don't want to say idol, but someone who's I always respected his ability and always consumed pretty much everything he did. And I kind of informed me of how I wanted to go about things and the places I would go. And it's been lucky enough to work out for me.
I mean, you could say idol.
Yeah, wow.
I completely get it. I say now he's one of my favorite writers. He's one of my favorite authors. I mean, he's written so many different things. Now, do you remember though, how you discovered him though?
I was thinking about this before I came on, and I think it was the radio show.
Okay.
When he was on ESPN back when I was in high school, you know, the big ESPN national show, which this was probably in the 90s, like late 90s, early 2000s. You know, it was like Dan the Duke Davis and all them, and they were, I think it was the 10 o'clock show I think he was doing. But I think that's how I discovered him, was just listening. You know, I'm home from school in the summer in high school, and I would just go on the internet and listen to the ESPN radio stream, because there wasn't actually an ESPN radio affiliate right in the Cleveland area. So I'd have to go onto the online and listen to the stream. And so I think that's how I first discovered Tony. And then I was one of the original subscribers also of ESPN, the magazine. And maybe it was that. It was a chicken or the egg. I'm not sure if came first or if the magazine came first. But I remember reading he always had that one page column in the magazine. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just the funniest thing in the world. And as a slightly sarcastic, sardonic person myself, you know, the voice definitely hit for me. And so that kind of led into then finding Tony's books at the library, which was a different side of Tony, because a lot of it was the style columns that were that were just repurposed. But there was also a lot of sports writing in there as well. And so it just kind of started there, and thinking early on that it was cool that there was someone who was so good, you know, on live radio, but could also write like that. And now if you paid any attention to how journalism is, I mean, none of us are just writing. None of us are just podcasting. I mean, everybody's doing everything. So it really is kind of amazing to think about. Tony was ahead of his time because he was doing all that. He was doing the radio and doing the writing, and then yodeling on TV, as he likes to say. So it kind of was a precursor of what was going to eventually happen to all of us. And so it's probably a good thing that at the beginning, I was kind of tuned in that there was someone who could do it all at such a high level.
Now, you did say you met him, though, right? Now, you went to Chatter. I'm all over the place on the form, but it says you went to Chatter. So you got to meet him?
Yes, this was probably, I think I was working in Toledo at the time. I was trying to remember the exact time I did this. And I had 1 year, now I'm here in Columbus again, but I had 3 years where I lived in Toledo. 1 year where I was the sports editor of the Toledo Blade, the newspaper in Toledo. Hmm. And I think it was in that time that I went to Chatter. And I can't even remember the years of when Chatter existed. So maybe I'm conflating the story a little bit, but I wanted to kind of talk about, like, I'm one of those ink stained wretches that people talk about. I'm still the editor of a major metropolitan sports section. Like, it's, you know, we still do exist in the world. And unfortunately, it was a day there was a lot of people at Chatter, and, you know, I don't want to really interrupt or anything, so we didn't really get a chance to go down that road. But, you know, it was cool that I had that experience working for one of the really big newspapers in America and do that job. And now everything I do working for our hockey organization is online, but there's still I'm one of the kids that grew up, again, to go back into the real nerdiness of this. I grew up riding the bus to go to school because I was bused from one side of town to the other. And it was like a 15-minute bus ride from the time I was in third grade all the way into high school. And so every day when the newspaper came in the morning, I grabbed the sports section and threw it in my trapper keeper. And when I'm on the bus for 15 minutes, I was reading the sports section. And so I guess I really was born for this. And, you know, it is a very nerdy thing to look back on. But, you know, my mom did the crossword. I would read the sports section and I would read the comic section. So that's kind of how I got into it. And I was always just interested in what happened to be in the newspaper that day.
Now, Roxy, you know what a trapper keeper is, right?
I sure do.
Now, those came back, though, right? Those made a comeback. Because that was way before your time.
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
No, but I had them, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And I always found it interesting because I'll never forget the time when my sister threw me under the bus, essentially. I was just trying to be a better student. But one of our teachers suggested that you get like a 3-ring binder for each class. You know what I mean? And And I remember that day when I was like a freshman and she was like a junior. And she was like, "Oh, mom, that's not necessary. He's just trying to waste money and blah blah this." And I was like, "No, I was trying to be the suck up. You know, the teacher. That's what the teachers wanted. They didn't want just one little folder inside the trapper keeper. You know, they wanted, you know, the whole shebang."
I mean, mine was Lisa Frank trapper keepers. I mean, everything was Lisa Frank, and that's, I think, also. Wait. I don't know if the brand ever went out of style.
I'm like, what is that? I've never even heard.
It's the like rainbows, very bright, colorful. Lots of different kind of designs.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
It's still Trapper Keeper, right?
Oh, yeah. But her company made Trapper Keepers in her brand.
So it was a knockoff.
Like all the rage.
It was a knockoff.
No, it wasn't a knockoff. I don't think. It was just someone doing the same thing. I don't know.
The real ripoff was the book coverings that you would get. They're like these poster papers that you would like wrap around your books, and then they would disintegrate and fall apart.
Wait,
and like
what?
Just
definitely not
useless.
I was a fruit advocate for the grocery store
brown
bag.
Paper bag.
The paper bag.
You turn it inside
the brown
out.
Paper bag,
yes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. My mom, I thought she was like the pro of all pros with wrapping textbooks with those. It was, yeah. Core memory.
It turns out you probably didn't need to do that. You could have just used the textbook. But because I just remember having visions of these things just sort of disintegrating as the year went on and just flipping or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but
I
liked
think they were also like the schools were like trying to protect the books from kids doing whatever to them.
And you could make it your own. That was the best part.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes not in the most positive ways, but depending on the kid.
Right.
Now,
sure.
Before we take a quick break, I have to go back and just applaud. Your middle school had a newspaper. And that just kind of, when you said that, that kind of blew my mind because I don't remember having a middle school newspaper. We definitely had one in high school. And I mean, just how great is that? You were able to do those things in, what was that, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, I'm guessing?
Yeah, seventh grade, eighth grade. And as I look back, when you say that, I guess that is kind of crazy because, as I said, we didn't even have a high school newspaper, which is kind of the time that that usually becomes a thing. So, and I name dropped Mr. Stewart there, who was my seventh and eighth grade English teacher, but he really, someone I've lost touch with, which is really a shame because he was a huge baseball fan and a huge fan of writing and really someone who from very early on encouraged me to do this type of thing with my life. And even actually at one point he was sort of known, if you Google him, he would probably come up for writing books about baseball oddities and actually would have me like help edit his books when I was like in seventh and eighth grade. Now, did I do a good job? Probably not. It was probably just like a vanity, like, oh yeah, kid, go read, you know, go edit these books. But when you look back to have that kind of encouragement at such an early age, probably had a tremendous amount of impact on me.
And how exciting for you.
Yeah. And if you look back, it is really cool that I, you know, you had those opportunities. Like say that for someone to trust you again, even if I had no idea what I was looking for. And I, at the age of like, you know, 13 or 14, I probably didn't. But the fact that someone kind of early on was there to encourage and actually say that this is something you could do was, when I look back on it, I kind of wish that I hadn't lost touch with him because someone who probably had more of an impact on me than almost anyone, really, when I look back to kind of actually believing this was something I could do down the road.
Right. Okay. And now real quick, before we take a quick break, now this is going to be hard for you to do, but without mentioning your current position, your current job, what you're doing, I want to know, another popular question we ask is, what's your favorite sport? What teams do you root for? Things like that. Because we're going to talk all about that when we come back from the break. But growing up, what was your favorite sport?
Growing up, I would say, and the two that have always stuck with me, I mean, I'm from Ohio, so I love football.
Okay, I could
just always watch football. But the two that really I've always sort of loved were baseball and hockey. Just growing up, when I was a kid, my parents took me to so many games at the old Cleveland Stadium. The old Mistake by the Lake, the just carnivorous place that the Indians at the time played. And from early on, I mean, I was a subscriber to Baseball Weekly, where I would make my parents take me to Discount Drug Mart in where I'm from, which is like the convenience store, and make them buy me Baseball Weekly every week so I could pour through the statistics and all the stories about baseball. So I was always a baseball nerd and just hockey. Cleveland's not the world's biggest hockey area, but I went to my first game when I was 9 years old and fell in love with it right away. So, you know, my teams have always been the Indians/Guardians, the Cleveland Browns. I was never the world's biggest basketball fan. So whatever hockey team, you know, it was the Cleveland Lumberjacks was the minor league team in Cleveland when I was a kid that I was a big fan of. And so, you know, the local teams are what you kind of gravitate to, obviously. Those were the ones that I was a huge fan of growing up.
Okay, cool. That's fair. So now we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and hear all about your job and things like that, because I have some interesting questions because Chuck had to do some homework. Okay, because everyone knows that hockey is not my thing, and we don't, not Roxy either. She's not really a hockey fan either. So, I mean, that's why we do bowling segments on our podcast, because we figure it's probably as exciting as a hockey segment. But you're going to prove us wrong with that when we come back, I'm sure. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
They found a massive python that was buried underneath a tree. But once that gal gave birth, she sadly met with a catastrophe. And oh, that snake in Penang is the longest of which we've heard tell. There's a serpent in Missouri that is kept inside the edge of hell. This reptile's name is Medusa, you can watch online as she chows down. You'll see her gullet is crammed with a deer that's weighing 40 pounds. Where do the wranglers work that keep Medusa fed so well? at a haunted house in the heartland that's just inside the edge of hell. 550 pounds of python would make any veterinarian shout. Though Kevin Sheehan reports, we'll have to see how this one measures out. There's no appearance fee that could make Kornheiser sit a spell. With a snake in Kansas City living just inside the edge of hell.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast, and we're lucky enough to have Jeff Svoboda here with us on the podcast today. Now,
good job, Chuck.
I tried to set him up and he didn't fall for it. So this is interesting. Okay, because I'm thinking, you know, Ohio is not the biggest hockey place. I was thinking football, and I know the baseball teams and all that stuff. Why don't we get into that? Why don't you just start there? Tell everyone what you do for a living.
Yeah, so I am the team reporter for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and this is something, as we previously discussed, the news industry is not exactly what it once was. And so a lot of teams will now have in-house reporting that covers the teams because the in-depth of coverage is just not out there that once was. And so that has been my job for the past about 5 years and 2 months, but it's my sixth season overall because I started mid-season. So I've worked for the team for that long now. You know, I would say one of the more anonymous professional sports franchises out there because we've never won a Stanley Cup or anything like that. But we've done a great job bringing professional NHL hockey to Ohio, building up a really strong, dedicated fan base here in Columbus with a lot of people playing the sport. And it was a team I was a big fan of, even though I grew up in the Cleveland area. When I moved to Columbus, you know, being a big hockey fan, the opportunity to have an NHL team here in my backyard was pretty cool. So I went to a fair number of games as a fan and was a season ticket holder at one point, and then the opportunity came along to work for the organization, and it's been a blast for the past 5 years.
Okay, so you've been there for 5 years. Now, educate us, please. Everyone knows, the listeners know, that Chuck knows nothing. He's a dope when it comes to hockey. Okay, so how long has the team been in Columbus?
So the first year of the team was the year 2000. So 2000, okay, 2001 so, was okay. The first. We're approaching 25 seasons now, and we've had some number of playoff appearances. We had a 4-game playoff streak from 2017 until 2020. We're in a bit of a rebuilding mode right now, but yeah. You know, we'll get there.
I got to be honest. So before you came on, Littles, I tried to do some homework, and I was like, you could have come on today and said, I mean, you couldn't have said they're on a 17-game winning streak because we all know that was the Oilers, which failed.
But, you know, but they did tie us. We had a 16-game winning streak back in 2016-2017.
Okay.
So that is one of our claims to fame is, you know, that 16-game streak that the Oilers just equaled.
I did not know that. Okay. So my thought, though, was you could have said we're not undefeated or something like that. You could have said we're in first place, and I would have totally bought it. I have no idea, except that I did look it up. We're going to get into that in a second because I'm genuinely curious what that's like. Let's just do that, and then I'll come back. But what's it like? Obviously, you're not having the season you hope you do. Like you already said, you're in a rebuilding mode. Is it hard to write those kind of stories? Is it hard to write for a team that's basically in last place?
Yeah, I mean, the rule of thumb is that it's a lot more fun to write about a winning team than it is a losing team. And my first season was the year 2018-19 when we had our first playoff series victory in franchise history. And not only did we win a playoff series, but we swept the Tampa Bay Lightning, who had won 62 games that year and were thought to be an unbeatable super team. And then we took them out of the playoffs in 4 games. And it was an incredible time to be in my first year with the organization, especially knowing what it meant to the community, because I had been a season ticket holder previously. But it was the best of times, really. And that team was probably good enough to win it all and didn't, you know, lost in the next round to Boston, but gave them a really good series. And then the team kind of, as these things do, you know, one player goes away in free agency and, you know, things kind of, you now have the same team and then you kind of try to play it out as long as you can, but you eventually come to the realization that the core has to change and you've got to kind of start over. And so that's what's happened the last 3 years for our organization. And even though we are in last place right now, you're starting to see, if you do watch our games, you're starting to see kind of the young group and the young core that we've drafted over the last 3 or 4 seasons really kind of stepping up and really becoming the guys that we thought they would be by drafting them so early. And so I think the good times are coming sooner rather than later, hopefully, although it always takes longer than you think when you're rebuilding at this level. But the biggest problem for us as a team this year was that we have blown a lot of games in the third period. We've been in games that we've been close to winning games and we just haven't been able to finish it off. And it gets very frustrating to the fan base. And as you try to explain that this is all part of the process, is that you have to learn how to win these games. And it doesn't come easy, but you have to go through kind of the down times to get to the good times. But the frustration certainly has been out there among the fan base, and you know, I certainly understand that. But the thing I've noticed is the less I write about actual hockey, the more people read my stories. And it's sort of the converse of like traditional beat writing is I'm trying to tell stories about the people off of the ice more, just as much as I am on the ice, because at the end of the day, it's the NHL. And if people want to watch the games, they're going to watch the games. So I don't necessarily need to write, you know, game recaps or really in-depth feature stories about what the guys are doing. But if I can write, for example, like this week, we're coming out of our All-Star break, and I wrote a story about our Russian players having to get used to moving over from a different culture, a completely different other half of the world, and moving to Columbus, Ohio to chase their dream of playing at the highest level of hockey, and like how they're getting paid handsomely to do this, but at the same time, it's also a big transition for them.
Sure.
And how difficult that is and the things that they have to do to kind of get comfortable here. That was one of the stories I wrote this week, and I found that that's the kind of stuff that gets people more interested than just saying, oh, this guy had a hat trick yesterday. So I kind of take out the wins and losses a little bit as much as I can to kind of focus on the human element, because that's what gets people connected to your team, is the fact that they're confident in the knowledge at the end of the day they're rooting for good people who they really want to like.
Right.
So that's kind of my philosophy. And I think it's worked over the last 5 or 6 years as I've done it. And I've noticed when I look at the numbers, people are more likely to read an interesting feature story than they are an interesting hockey story.
Oh, absolutely. And so, I'm so glad you said that, because first of all, I'm thrilled that you said, what'd you say? It was 2000, 2001 when they became a team there?
Yes.
Because I thought you were going to say like, oh, you know, 70s or before. And I'm going to be like, I'm a dope, you know, because I just didn't know. Now, that's so interesting that you brought up Columbus. Now, that's what was so interesting to me about Ohio in general. Roxy and I have some really strong connections. She has family in Columbus.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of work out in the Dayton area, so I have lots of friends there.
Yeah.
What blows my mind about Ohio is how it's so spread out. And the other Columbus and Cincinnati don't have basketball teams. You know what I mean? But Cleveland and Cincinnati don't have hockey teams. And, you know, so it's kind of like spreading the wealth. I mean, obviously, we know about the two football teams. Right. We know about the two baseball teams. But Columbus, like, why do you think Columbus was chosen? Now, I also know, because I've played Columbus, Ohio, probably 6 or 7 times in my life on tour. And I've watched it become bigger and bigger, you know, and obviously Ohio State and all that stuff. But I'm just saying in general, why do you think they picked Columbus and not Cleveland or Cincinnati?
That's a great question, because if you look at the history of hockey in Ohio, it's been Cleveland and, well, Toledo and Cincinnati. Cincinnati has had a number of minor league teams over the years.
See,
Cincinnati Stingers were in the Stingers were in the WHA, which was the league that the Hartford Whalers and the Edmonton Oilers and all of them came out of. And Cleveland has had NHL hockey. Cleveland had the Barons in the 1970s, who ended up merging. Yeah, they merged with the Minnesota North Stars and ended up going up to, or I forget, maybe they merged with someone else. I should know this. They ended up becoming the Minnesota North Star. I can't remember if they just merged with them or if they merged with someone else and moved to Minnesota off the top of my head. But that was the 70s. The Barons were an actual NHL team. And if you look at the history of hockey in Toledo, which is not as big a city, but they have had minor league hockey there since the 50s as well, pretty consistently. So those are sort of the traditional hockey hotbeds of Ohio. But when the Columbus area first was sort of exploring getting into the NHL, and it was weird because there really wasn't any real hockey culture in the city of Columbus until the early 90s. And a minor league team came in called the Columbus Chill. And they were basically like, they were the 90s. You know how the 90s was kind of this counterculture, like we're going to like have fun and just be raucous. And you know, that was kind of a big 90s thing at the time, the everybody trying to be extreme or whatever. But they came in to Columbus and said, we're going to do that. Like, we're going to be the team that does the wild promotions, and we're gonna have the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, we're gonna do all sorts of crazy things to get people in this building. And within the first 2 months, it just completely took off. Like, it became the place to be in Columbus, Ohio. And that was 1991, I believe. And when that continued into the 90s, you know, the mid-90s, for it proved it wasn't just a flash in the pan, suddenly people started thinking, like, wait a minute, we have this burgeoning, growing city, which, as you said, Chuck, Columbus has exploded in the past 30 years as far as population has gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this big, burgeoning city that does not have any professional sports. You can make the joke that Ohio State football is. But outside of that, you know, you're never going to get baseball because there's Cleveland and Cincinnati. You're never going to get football because there's Cleveland and Cincinnati, and you already had Ohio State. So if you were going to be seriously trying to get a professional sports franchise in Columbus, Ohio, a city that was rapidly growing and probably deserved one, hockey became the thing. And it was not the easiest of roads to get there. There's a really good book called Chill Factor that a friend of mine, Craig Merce, has written about it got shot down at the ballot box. And basically some of the corporate people in Columbus had to really put themselves on the line to make it happen. But it has been a huge success. I mean, we now have state championship hockey teams here, high school wise in Columbus. We have players that have come out of our youth ranks that have made it to the NHL, you know, just thousands and thousands of kids and adults. We have one of the biggest adult leagues in the entire nation as far as hockey goes here in Columbus. And so it's kind of proven to be the right sport for the right city at the right time,
yeah,
I would say. And if you've been to Columbus and you've seen the Arena District took what the arena is built on, what once was the site of the state penitentiary, which was a decrepit, falling apart building. Now there's an arena there surrounded by office buildings and restaurants. And it's been kind of the linchpin for like sort of the whole redevelopment of the city of Columbus. And so it is one of the true rare success stories of those things that when they kind of promise economic benefits of professional sports teams, sometimes it's overblown, but it actually has happened in Columbus, Ohio, because it's connected all the different neighborhoods from downtown outward to really make this kind of a cohesive, fun city to live in.
So interesting. Just love hearing about that, especially because, like I said, I've spent so much time there. And, you know, and we've talked about it with these other littles. You know, another one we name dropped earlier, Carla Corrado, you know, episode 120. You know, she went into it. And, you know, the most I knew was about the theaters and the Science Museum. COSI, is that what it's called?
Yes, yes, COSI.
Yeah, and I raved about it. I'm like, if you're in the city, go to it. It's not just for kids, you know, kind of thing. Now, real quick before we get to our fun dumb questions, because we're running out of time, something we wanted to touch upon because it was on your form that you sent in, and we talked off air a little bit about it. And I was like, well, how are we going to bring this up? And it was just, I think it's important, and I think it's good to educate. So it says on your form, currently battling colon cancer for a second time.
Yeah, so obviously not something anyone expects to have happen in their life. But in 2020, when the world was going through COVID, I discovered a growth in my stomach one day. I was just kind of waking up in the morning, kind of stretching, and was like, oh, this looks a little bit weird. I should probably get this checked out. And within a month, I was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. Thankfully, from a work perspective, we were at a time where we weren't really traveling for covering the team because COVID was happening. So I at that timing kind of worked out, although having to spend 5 days in the hospital, having the surgery I had to have while COVID was raging was not exactly the most pleasant thing.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, that was a little bit weird. But thankfully, I've had a tremendously supportive organization behind me as far as the Blue Jackets and a good friend base and things like that. So I went through the chemo treatments and the surgery the first time and felt in summer of 2021, I was pretty much done with this. And then has kind of had a recurrence here. This one, it's the same cancer, but it's just in my abdominal wall, not my colon this time, which I think it hasn't really spread. So I have a pretty good prognosis. But the last couple of days, I just restarted the treatments again. Found out at the beginning of hockey season that I was going to be back in this whole thing. And then started chemo in December. In January, had an anaphylactic shock reaction to my drugs. And so they had to change that up a little bit. I wouldn't recommend that either. But this week discovered a pretty good regimen to kind of get me going again. But it's one of those things that, well, I appreciate that. And sometimes it's one of those things that, as a journalist, sometimes you're so reluctant to ask people about their personal travails. And it is a personal decision whether people want to or not. But in my experience, we don't need to fight these things in the shadows. It's not like it's not necessarily a private thing. And the more support you can get, and the more that you can kind of show what it's like to go through this. I think sometimes you hear someone has cancer, like, oh my God, like that's so terrible. Like what's like, I'm living a relatively normal life at the moment. And, you know, hopefully I will be able to continue to do so. But I think it's good to talk about these things because it's what makes us human. It's what makes us ourselves. People are always afraid to bring it up sometimes. But at the end of the day, I want to talk about it because it's what's part of my daily life.
Yeah.
So
yeah, good for you.
Well, honestly, it sounds like you have such a positive outlook on life in general, and I hope that even just that alone kind of helps you navigate this and is something you can like lean on. That's a characteristic you already have that you can lean on. And like you said, you could talk about it for yourself, you could talk about it to help other people maybe and inspire other people. So that's really
I mean Roxy, he changed my outlook within like 30 seconds because full disclosure, we were off air and I said, gee, I see this on your forum. I don't know how I'm going to bring this up. And, you know, you basically just talked like, let's just talk about it, you know, and that's so important. Yeah. It really is. So bravo to you. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And one thing about working in sports is, you know, what does everybody say? One day at a time, one game at a time. Don't worry about what happened in the past. And that's been kind of my mantra is, you know, being in locker rooms for most of my life is you can't worry about, you just got to show up every day, do what they tell you to do. And not think too much about it. And I think that's actually been a pretty good help for me to go through this.
Yeah.
Good.
Well,
good.
Thank you again. And thank you for coming on to meet the Littles. Hopefully you're going to be okay with some fun dumb questions now, because that's what we do here on the Loyal Littles podcast.
Let's do it.
Roxy, take it away.
All right. If you could be an Olympic athlete, in what sport would you compete?
You want me to say something like hockey or something, but you know what it would be? Because it's something that everyone says they can do. It would be curling. I would love to be in
Olympic
curling.
Okay, I was thinking figure skating.
Can we start
something?
A team?
A lot of
and
curling.
We do have a curling
club
here in Columbus, and nice. I've done it a couple times. It's an absolute blast.
Oh.
Excellent.
All right. What three famous people, living or dead, would you want at your fantasy dinner party?
You know who would be great? Someone who would be awesome would be Larry David, because not just that we're in – I'm a Tony Kornheiser fan, so old Jewish humor is very much my shtick.
Yeah.
So I think Larry David would be an absolute trip to have around for a dinner party.
While you're thinking, I'm going to give a shout-out to the Bill Simmons podcast, who had Larry David on last week as a guest.
Yeah.
Fantastic episode. He even brings up the Broadway show Softball League in New York, where he used to play softball. And
which is like the one of the genesis of like some of the great Seinfeld plots of all time.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Well, he told the story about how he had to hit against Rosie O'Donnell and he couldn't do it. He was so embarrassed. He was like, "This is freaking lob slow pitch softball, and I couldn't get a hit off her." It was hilarious. Anyway,
I fall into so many like rabbit holes of like, man, that person would be so interesting to be around, or to hear what they had to say. Like someone. Just looking back, like a JFK would be incredible because he lived such a wild life. For like, even someone like Lyndon Johnson was like coming out of the Senate, like, but he lived an incredible life. Like
a lot of
I don't know, there's like so many people.
They do.
Yeah.
Or like, I mean, I've always been, this has kind of dulled a little bit in the recent years, but like, I've always been sort of fascinated by Bill Clinton as well.
Sure.
I always said if I was going to have kids, I would name them after like great Democrat presidents, Franklin Delano Svoboda, things like that.
Wow.
Nice.
I'm not really answering your question at the moment, though.
No, those are great answers. You just gave us like four or five. That's fine. They can all be presidents.
Yeah, right.
And you threw Larry David in there. You know what?
It's thinking of Seinfeld, it's like the episode where the Costanzas make all the paella. It's like, what are we going to do with all this paella? Well, you know what? They can all come to my dinner party and we'll have plenty of paella.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, let's do one more here. If you hosted Saturday Night Live, who would you want to introduce as your musical guest?
Probably my favorite band of the last 15 years is Group Love, but I would say, you know who would be good? Because it sounds like a bit. I've always loved Vampire Weekend. So to say, ladies and gentlemen, Vampire Weekend, that could be like a Liam Neeson type cut that ends up on social media. So I think between...
True.
Yeah, a band that I love that could also be funny, I would say Vampire Weekend.
Okay, I'm going to have to look them up. Yeah, I've never heard of them. I have no idea who you're talking about, which
is
okay.
A great name.
Which is great. Yeah.
Oh,
I love the
it's one of the great alternative bands of the last 20 years.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll look it up. All right, Roxy, some rapid fire.
All right, Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Smooth or crunchy peanut butter?
Oh, crunchy. I have to have crunchy. And I'll tell you what, my favorite breakfast is peanut butter toast, and got to have crunchy.
Yes. I knew it'd get along great. Okay, Garfield or Heathcliff?
Ooh, you know what? I didn't have much exposure to Heathcliff as a kid. Remember, I would take the comics on the bus every day when I would go to school.
Yep.
And we always had Garfield in the comic strip, so I would say Garfield.
Okay. I still say Heathcliff has the better theme song, though, just saying, for the cartoon.
That's fair.
All right, cake or pie?
Ooh, I think both are a little bit overrated, but if you gave me a good chocolate cake, I would say cake.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, and last one, Uranus jokes, not funny or never not funny?
Oh, never not funny. Of course. Any joke is funny.
All
like, let's be honest here. Like, people take things way too seriously. We should just be more joking in the world.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Uranus jokes are, I'm totally in on that.
Excellent. All right. Well, Jeff, can't thank you enough for coming on to Meet the Littles. Now, is there anything we can plug for you? Well, let's plug the Blue Jackets, obviously. And but anything
yes,
else
please,
we can plug for you?
Support our team. Root for the Blue Jackets. But if anyone is interested in hockey or what we do, you can find the things I write over at bluejackets.com. And you can follow me both on Twitter and Instagram at Jackets Insider. I've tried to get more into Instagram this year to kind of show some more of the behind-the-scenes stuff of what it's like to travel with an NHL team. So hopefully, you know, if you're not the world's biggest fan of the Jackets, you can still kind of see what it's like to be around a team on a regular basis.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming on to Meet the Littles. And as an homage to the big show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
Oh, the answer is absolutely over. And I worry for people who do under.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Why do you worry?
I do as well. I understand.
It seems unnecessarily complicated. Like why go under when you can just go over?
That's like the perfect answer,
I'm
Roxy.
Sure they'll. Oh my gosh, this is so.
I
funny.
Know Roxy's
that's
like, well,
so
they're saying
funny.
The same thing about us, so I get it.
Right.
Anyway.
That's so true.
All right. Well, Jeff, thanks again. We really appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Meredith Boosie, and you are listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast, and thank you, Jeff, for coming on to meet the Littles. Good time as always. It's always a fun time
Wait, did I miss it?
Chuck! Tiny Chuck!
Wait, hold on!
Chuck, we didn't think you were alive.
I know.
Oh, I've been like raising the bar for the last 48 hours. Come on now.
Tiny Chuck is in the house. I don't need
a champion again.
How does it feel for everyone in the world to hate you except people from Missouri, Chuck? How's that feel?
Well, I can relate because I was the same way when the Patriots were on their little spree. But I'll tell you, man, this is a good time to be a sports fan in my book. I'm having some high times for sure. So I'm going to ride it till it can't be ridden any longer. And if haters going to hate, let them hate. I get it. Hate on. But it's a good time for me.
The question is Andy Reid going to ride on until he can get? Because, I mean, that's the big question is, will he stick around? People are saying he could catch Belichick if he stays. And Mahomes stays, of course. Uh-huh. You know, that's the key.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so many variables, you know, with coaching changes. I mean, we've had a couple. We lost our offensive coordinator last year, and you never know about injuries. I mean, there's just so many things that can happen. I thought this was going to be the year that we, you know, we started off terrible, and everybody was, including myself, was dogging it like, we don't have a good team. And you just catch fire at the right time.
Right.
Yeah.
The way sports is.
Well, the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's when. The impressive thing for me. I will give them all the props in the world because it's not like the usual where they just sat at home waiting for the next opponent. This time they had to do it on the road. They had the first game, I believe, was at home against Miami. Mm-hmm. But then they had to go do it in Buffalo.
Yep.
They had to go do it in Baltimore. So hats off. What is it? What Taylor Swift, that's her name?
Yeah.
Just kidding. everyone's going, she's 1-0 and the Cowboys are 0-whatever since whatever. But can we talk about the real luck charm of the Chiefs? I mean, Sophia is 2-0, Chuck.
I know.
Now
it's crazy.
How does she feel about
it? Now wait. We're talking about Chuck's daughter who was born like what, 2 weeks before the Super Bowl last year?
Yes.
So we were all excited. We propped it up. We're like, oh, Chuck gets to watch the first Super Bowl with his new daughter. And then they freaking win.
Yep.
And you promised her a car. Are you promising her a house now? I mean, back to back, Chuck. I mean,
yeah,
this is going to be.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, so how did that feel? I mean, take us through the whole thing, you know, and then we'll talk about the important stuff for the Super Bowl, like the commercials and things like that.
Right. Well, we went to my brother-in-law's house. They had nice little party going on, but she was in perfect form. You know, she woke up from her nap at Central Time, 5:00. So we had 30 minutes to get over there before the game started. And
diaper
she
change.
Basically, oh yeah, get her all dressed up and all the Chiefs gear and all that. And then during the whole game, she was just like a darling, you know, crawling around to everybody, getting everybody's face, just checking everything out. And yeah, and then that was when it kind of dawned on me. It's like, you haven't been through any.
Heartbreak.
All you know is two Super Bowls.
Right.
Yes, I've been a fan since the 80s. We've like sucked for so long.
Yeah.
Well, Chuck, to be fair, she probably still doesn't know, but that's okay.
Right.
No, of course not. But when she gets older and I tell her, she's going to be like, what's the big deal? We've already won two or by then maybe five.
Right, exactly. Yeah, she's going to be like, yeah, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Chuck, by then she might be a Raiders fan. So
I was going to say, by then she'll probably just for spite, she'll like. Turn the Raiders or something. Donkey. God forbid the Donkeys.
Ugh. The Donkeys, yeah. Well, Chuck, I mean, I don't know what to say. I hate him. I do. I hate him now. But like I said, you got to give him props.
Yes.
Got to give him props for
hey,
what they
this
accomplished.
Year especially. I mean, we were underdogs in the last three games, beat both number one seeds. I mean, it's not like there was no luck involved for sure.
That's just stupid. I don't get that. You know, and I was a subscriber too back in Buffalo. When that game happened and they were I was like, nope, you know what? Defending champion. How many Super Bowls has he been in now? Or he's been to the championship game like 5 years?
We won three. Yeah, right.
Whatever the ridiculous stat is. I'm like, I'm sorry. Right. Until Mahomes loses, you got to prove it to me. So I picked him in every game because I'm like,
right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Sorry, Sid.
Well,
you know, I just, you're going to give Mahomes points. Sorry.
That's the money for you.
Yeah. Yep. can't give Mahomes points. You know, I don't care if he's on the road or not at this point. And I think now people are like, oh, yeah, we should have saw that coming. I'm like, duh.
Yeah, he's
so
good.
I mean, look, Buffalo's a great team. Baltimore's a great team. So I get that, but not from a money betting standpoint. Mm-hmm. Nope, nope. Mm-hmm. If at least make it a pick 'em game.
Right.
You know, you can't.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, so there was that. Back to back. That's just, ugh. I never got to experience
crazy.
That. Yeah. In my lifetime.
I did.
Yeah. Shut it, Roxy. Okay. So we didn't do any of this in the first part of the podcast today. So let's talk about the game a little bit. Now, unfortunately, Chuck, I had a matinee and then it was our closing performance. So we had a lot of stuff. I had to clean out dressing rooms, things like that, get stuff together. They had a champagne toast. You know, you're saying goodbye to your family. Mm-hmm. We were just discussing in the first part, you know, when you do these shows, Chuck, you know, a month and a half straight and you just get to know these people and you're hanging out with them right down to we're at that little gathering champagne toast with cake and Mitch, the lead, he played Sonny in the show. He's like, hey, where are you watching? What are you doing for the Super Bowl? Where are you watching the Super Bowl? Me and Rick played Danny. And he's like, hey, we're going to go watch the Super Bowl with Stephanie, the choreographer, you know, that kind of stuff. And she was doing a show in town with Tony and Tina's wedding. Mm-hmm. So that cast came out. It was just this kind of like a little cool
mishmash
of two shows. So I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And we went to a place called Monica's. Now, they did have the game on multiple screens, but ours didn't have sound. Mm-hmm. So you had to go on the other side of the bar. That's why our side was so uncrowded, which was nice.
Yeah.
And we could watch the game. You could kind of hear it in the background, but you couldn't hear what like
sometimes
Romo was
better.
Saying. You couldn't hear any of the announcing.
It's better not hearing
yes,
that,
I agree
think.
With that. Except, except you couldn't hear the commercials either.
Yeah.
So I have no say in any of this, okay? Yeah. Because I did not, unfortunately, get to see. I'm so sad, and I haven't been able to do my homework on it to like go back and watch them. Mm-hmm. So you two take it away. Now, we've heard Tony's take on it, you know, on what his favorite commercials were and stuff like that, which is always fun. Did you all, Roxy, you go first. Did you have a favorite?
I mean, I think the Michael Cera one advertising CeraVe, the I thought that was great.
I don't know that Tony
really
mentioned
funny.
That one.
But that one premiered before the Super Bowl, so I don't know if you can really count that. They did a slightly different version of it, but it was the same kind of thing. So with him and the CeraVe stuff. But
Who is that? What is that? What
he's
are you
an actor.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have to look this up.
I use CeraVe on my face.
I'm sure I would see. If I saw it, I'd be oh, that commercial.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I thought it was really funny. I also thought it was interesting. I forget what, was it Grubhub? They had this big, if you could read and type in the discount code, but it was like the most long, obnoxious code. You get like a
it wasn't LL Pod.
You get like a free something or a car or how I don't know. You get like something, some huge prize. But it like is this long run on code as it's flashing along the screen and you have to figure out what it is. And I guess whoever's the first one.
Oh, that's if that's legit. Because I mean, obviously you'd have to pause it, go back.
Yeah, right.
Carefully punch it in your phone or whatever, I guess.
Right. But it's like codes for multiple like Grubhub establishments, I think.
Okay. That's interesting. This is interesting because Roxy, I've not heard about any, well, maybe the first one, but not definitely not this one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's give Chuck a chance because you might take one of his.
I mean, I have one that I was bummed out about, but we could.
Okay. We'll come back to that. Chuck, what was your favorite?
Okay. Truth be told, I don't remember a whole lot of the commercials.
He was chasing the little one around.
Yeah. I was chasing people around and that was when I was going back to the smorgasbord for a refill of whatever. But I did like the CeraVe. Yeah, that one was funny. I do remember that one. And then the one that I laughed at the most was the well, there was a couple. Now that I think about it, first one was I think it was for Kawasaki, where they I'm probably not saying that right.
Kawasaki, the motorcycle.
Yeah, Kawasaki. Oh. Yeah, hashtag not a sponsor. Whenever they drove it, they had like mullets would grow. And so, like, anytime they pass somebody while they were driving, like, they would grow a mullet.
Okay.
And it was hysterical. And there was a couple of cameos in there. And then I think it was State Farm with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes. Oh, Tony mentioned this one. Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that one was pretty good, too.
Okay.
Yeah, overall, the commercials were a lot better this year than they have been in past years. I felt like there was a lot more comedy.
Yeah.
And not so, and there was a lot more serious ones in the past. And there was a lot of, like, I don't want to say startups, but like, you know, pharmaceutical things last year and different things that nobody could relate to.
Yeah.
So this one was, you know,
I have to say, there was, speaking of that briefly, there was a Pfizer commercial, which we all were like, because I was actually with Sid at a Super Bowl party, and that one came up, but we didn't really know what it was at first. It was very like uplifting and light and not kind of what we've been used to seeing since the pandemic of medication and shots and things like that being really super down in the dumps. This was pretty light, and we were like, oh, that's nice.
So which one disappointed you? You said you had one.
Budweiser.
Oh, the Budweiser. Was there any?
There was one, barely.
Oh.
It was so short. It was so short. There was the dog, and honestly, I can't even tell you much more about it because it came and went.
I got to be honest. There probably weren't any Pepsi, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I remember.
They're
not
the sponsor anymore, right?
Well, no, but I mean, and also like 5 or 10 years ago, I don't remember how long ago. Probably wasn't that long. But they were just like, no, I mean, and it makes sense. These commercials are so expensive. I forget what, how many millions for 30 seconds? Mm-hmm. I forget what it was.
I think I saw 7.
Okay. Pepsi's like, screw it. We don't need that. No. We're already this multi. Everyone knows who we are.
Right.
We don't need to advertise on the Super Bowl. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
For sure.
You know, I get where you're investing in your product, but there's companies out there, and it's just not just Pepsi. It'd be Coke. It would be, and I think Budweiser is one of them, where they're like, look, we're not doing. Remember back in the day, they do like 4 or 5 in a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? No. We don't need that.
I know.
And I'll bet you in a couple of years they don't do any unless they're like sponsoring the whole thing. You know, of course, then they would.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, so yeah, it probably depends on which stadium they're playing at if they serve Budweiser and stuff like that. I don't know how that all works.
Interesting.
But all right. Well, I'm going to have to go back and watch some of these real quick before we let Chuck get out of here. Halftime show, thumbs up for y'all?
Oh, huge thumbs up.
Chuck?
It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know a lot about the performers, but I thought it was entertaining. It was not. I like the roller skate part.
I was going to say, I'm going to go on my usual. I'm gonna like, well, it wasn't Prince, but it was fine. It was fine. I certainly didn't hate it. I did not like it.
Yeah.
Everyone in the bar went crazy because I was with that generation.
Yeah,
the cast was younger
my
than
generation.
Me, your generation.
Yeah.
So they ate it up.
I think
they
that's why.
Absolutely ate it up.
I think that's why. There is such a difference in what people thought of it.
Yeah.
Because yes, my generation, the whole party, we were like, this is effing cool. Like, look at him. Also, the man doesn't age.
Okay.
And he's
fair
got
enough. Yeah.
The cutest dimples. And he could roller skate like nobody
else. Well, that's
else.
For us because we were just doing Xanadu.
Yeah,
we were like,
right,
of course,
right.
That they did that for us.
No, it was
we like,
so
the whole
cool.
cast was like, they did that for us. We're like, yeah, probably not.
Yeah, but I mean, even just the amount of other types of entertaining acts that he had within his show was just amazing. He had the showgirls. Yeah. He had the marching band. He had people on stilts. Like, it was just, I thought it was very, very well done.
And I still say, though, if they could have somehow snuck Taylor Swift in for like 3 minutes, people would have lost their freaking minds.
I'm really glad they
did. I said that too.
She should
have like,
just popped in, even from her
green
suite.
Line, or what do you call that? Come down from her suite.
Yes.
You know,
well,
like,
or even I think it would have been hilarious.
Line down.
But I think it would have been hilarious. They swung over to the suite, and then she starts singing from the suite, and then just gives it back. I mean, people would have lost their minds. But, you know, and Tony said the same thing. And I'm like, well, I said this 5 weeks ago, I believe, because I said, you know, what are they going to do when the chefs make the Super Bowl? They're going to have to book her. This is before I knew who the Super Bowl halftime was. And they were like, I forget who we had as a third wheel or the guest. They were like, oh, it's already booked. It's Usher. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I didn't even realize that. Of course, that makes sense. I'm sure it's booked months in advance.
Sure.
And I was just like, but they're going to bag him, right, for Taylor Swift. If the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. And they were like, no, you can't. Then someone looked up that she was in Tokyo the day before so that she can't even be there. Well, then, of course, she made it.
Yeah.
I just think that would have been hilarious. But, you know, when Tony said that, they were like, it's kind of like being invited somewhere. And then, like, Tony, come on over and, you know, we're going to do this. And, oh, by the way, can you do a podcast?
Yeah,
you know, it's
right.
like, you just don't do that.
Dance,
you know?
Monkey, dance.
Dance,
yeah,
monkey, dance.
Yeah.
So,
no, I'm glad they didn't do that.
Although I'm sure she would have been totally willing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Not that she needs the publicity.
But I don't know.
Anyway,
yeah,
it just would have made
I mean,
the whole
I have
thing.
Other thoughts on all of that whole hullabaloo, but
well, maybe we'll do that in another episode. Yeah. So let's let Chuck go. We got to almost get out of here, but we got to get to our emails. But Chuck, thank you for coming on. Please give Sophia your good luck charm.
Yeah,
I will. Golly, we got another Super Bowl shirt to buy.
I'll start looking for houses for her that Daddy's going to buy.
Oh, and, God, right?
What's next? What are you going to buy for next? If they three-peat, Chuck, a boat. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got
a lot of
lakes out there.
Lake.
Yeah.
I should know.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Oh, my God. She's going to be set for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Chuck, congratulations again.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
I'm getting
tired
saying it, but you know. Now let's see what your O's
can
do.
Say it again in October.
Well, that would be nice,
that's
right?
Right.
That would be nice.
Three
I know
days,
our
right?
listeners would
pitchers
agree
and
with
catchers,
that.
3 days.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is like I said, this is turning out to be a good little stretch for the old Chuck's sports team.
100
for
wins
one.
Last
Chuck,
year.
Chuck, you know just as much as anybody that it's been a long drought for all of my teams. So
absolutely.
I'm not apologizing for anything. No,
and you shouldn't.
Nope.
You shouldn't. We
Enjoy
can still
it.
Hate you, but you shouldn't apologize. So anyway.
All right. Go ahead. You all hate.
Shake it off.
We'll
shake
see you
it
next
off.
Year.
We'll see you next year, bitches. Right. All right, Chuck. Thanks for coming on. We'll have to have you on as a third wheel, and we'll do more. And we'll talk soon, though.
Sounds good. Love you guys.
All right. Later.
Bye.
All right, Roxy, we got to get out of here. It's time to go. But we do have a few emails we want to get to, at
yes.
least. We heard from Steve Oswald, episode 2. He said, oh, man, what an interview. This is based on last interview. A few things. The hotel that we stayed at in January was the one that Elvis performed at. Now, Roxy, I didn't realize that's the Westgate, I guess it's called now.
Mm-hmm.
We were there because that was where the tram dropped us off by Circus Circus and the Sphere down at that end of the strip. So I didn't even realize that.
Mm.
And we saw the movie before the Oscars last year. Then he said, Fast Car came out in 1988 and we, my family, have a list of potential band names. Finally, the remake of Bang a Gong by Power Station was way better than the T-Rex original. Okay. Now, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but I agree. I mean, I didn't even know there was a Bang. I should have known. But yeah, Power Station. Now, do you know where Power Station came from?
Nope.
Okay. Power Station was a branch off of Duran Duran, which
okay.
I'm a crazy Duran Duran.
Are?
Oh, Roxy. Do
okay.
you even know me?
Good to know.
Duran Duran?
You
learn
something new every day. I'm glad we can keep the marriage.
I was
a
huge Duran Duran fan back in the day when I was like an eighth and ninth. Oh, my gosh. They were it. Simon LeBon. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Taylor. Oh, yeah. And they split up and then they did the Power Station and also a band called Arcadia.
Mm-hmm.
And not nearly
I've
as good.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. Not nearly as good. But Power Station, huge. Some Like It Hot. Some Like It Hot and something. The heat is on. Yeah. Remember that?
That sounds like two different Broadway shows right there.
Come on, Roxy. Anyway, and I almost forgot. We heard from Lee Gordon, episode 80. He just tweeted us. He said, Chuck should definitely have returned the milk to where he bought it. If it went bad before the sell-by date, it's not because it was opened. It's because it was left unrefrigerated for a long time or otherwise mishandled by the dairy or store and not due to anything Chuck did.
Oh.
Now, the weird thing is now if you could, I didn't know you could do that after you open it. And use it.
Right.
So I make sure the story was complete. So I opened it, used it once, and then like the next day.
Right.
Now, remind you, I said I don't drink the milk, but I think I would have, while eating the cereal, would have realized it if it was really sour.
Interesting.
You know, or bad. Because like I said, when you opened it the next day and you smelt it, you're like, you're not going to go anywhere near that. You know, it's the smell test, as they say. So, I don't know. I didn't know. I wonder if you could do that. I wonder if you can actually then, like, the next day say,
hey. It sounds like you can.
Okay, then. I didn't get into this when we read the email the last episode. But he also says, Kurt Vonnegut was at my high school graduation. He adopted his late sister's 3 children. One of them was my classmate, also named Kurt, K-U-R-T. This was right at the beginning when he was becoming well-known. Now, my favorite Kurt story, if there is one, there's a little bit. For those of you, you'll know. You won't know this. I think I made you watch the movie Back to School, Ronnie Dangerfield.
Yes.
Where he's the diver.
Yes.
Okay, there's that little bit in there where he hires Kurt to come over to his dorm room to basically write his paper on him, for him, and then he gets like a D on
it.
Right.
That's right.
There's a little bit about it's really great. I thought it was hilarious. And then you hear him calling him later, a couple days later. He's like, I'm canceling the check, you know, blah, 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 that kind of thing. So anyway, good stuff, Lee. All right, Roxy, you got the last one, right?
Yes. Oh boy. Dear Choxy, I listened to episode 295 several times, and for the life of me, I have no idea what class Roxy took and why there are multiple parts to the class. Help a brother out.
Oh, you got to say it right, Roxy. Brother.
Cupping.
No, wait. Let's answer
sorry.
That. Like,
okay.
So this was pass.
My nutrition certification.
Okay,
so I'm technically now a certified nutrition coach to go along with my certified personal trainer.
Right, but so it was multiple parts, though. That's what he was asking, right? Like why there were multiple classes?
I'm not quite sure what he means by that.
Okay, never mind. Go on,
if he means by the test, that just means I took the test twice by accident.
Oh, no, I don't think that's what he means. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, anyway, cupping. Not only were there several that's what she said moments throughout that conversation, but there was also a massive amount of confusion. Don't people look to get plastic surgery to tighten their skin as they get older? Facelift, Botox, stretching at the neckline, etc. Cupping seems to do the opposite. You grab a bundle of skin and pull everything around it so tight it's bright red. Then, when you remove the cup, you basically have balls, that's what she said, of skin hanging down. You are basically aging yourself with this technique. That's actually not what happens, but okay.
Based on the photo I posted of some random person being cupped, we don't know who that photo was of.
As soon as the cups are removed, it goes right back into place.
Yeah, but what he's saying, I get it. It can't be good, though. It can't be...
If it wasn't good, people wouldn't
Right.
And certified people
I mean, for like 50 years from now, I guess is what he's trying to
say. Oh, that I don't know.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, we'll see in 50 years, Roxy, when you've got these balls hanging off your back.
No, that won't happen. That won't happen, I promise. Then he goes on, not to mention the fact that you are paying someone to give you 12 hickeys all over your back.
It was only 8.
Yes. You could probably go to that softball league.
The other 4 were for me. Oh.
Whoa. Okay. Okay. Not family show, Chuck.
Oh, sorry.
You could probably go to that softball.
I wasn't even here. It couldn't have been.
Okay. You could probably go to that softball league and just ask some of those shady characters, and they would likely do it for free. I would not trust that. Honestly, when Chuck first said you got cupped, I assumed she went to a tailor and they did fitting that was too close for comfort.
If you know, you know.
Okay. I don't.
Are you serious? Whatever. All right, go.
I'm not sure if this show needs to be cleaned up or if I need to stop assuming you have your minds in the gutter. Episode 178, ABTAHS. We will not do better next time unless Ritz tells us his best guess on how many Midwest slices of pizza he could eat in a 24-hour period. It's got to be over 50. I mean, like a full pie could be rolled into a burrito.
That's true. Stupid thin crust Midwest. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, my last night there. Okay, so we went
to
the...
Yeah, you took a picture. You sent it to me.
We went to the Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
At this place called Monica's, which is a dive bar hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Like it looked like it's in someone's house.
Yeah. Got That's a little how divey trash, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very trashy. But great. But they didn't have food. So we got lots of drinks.
Yeah, you got trashed.
And I didn't get trashed, Roxy.
No, it was really fun talking to you.
We did call a few times.
Yeah, it was really fun.
But... And the weird thing is, okay, it was a matinee show. We all know Chuck doesn't eat a lot before the shows. Then I had nothing right after. They had cake. So I had a little piece of cake and all these drinks. That was it. All night. Mm-hmm. And so finally we went for the slice of pizza afterwards, after the game and after that, all the stuff. And it was actually decent. It was exactly what I said about the other day. Where, oh, you need one of these walk-up slices place. And that's what this place was. Shout out Ian's. It's called Ian's. There are a few locations. There just wasn't one really near me.
Okay.
And so, of course, the people from the cast had cars because they're driving from way far away to do the show. Mm-hmm. So we drove to an Ian's and got some slices. So just happy to report Milwaukee does have these places. They just need one like in the downtown area where you're walking places. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway. All right, Roxy, that's it. We got to get out of here. We're hopefully going to get back on schedule here. We've got some catching up to do. We still have to put our Christmas decorations away. That's the next thing. Just so you know, the podcast was the first priority.
Yep.
Now we're going to start taking down some Christmas decorations, put the Christmas tree away, stuff like that. And hopefully we'll be back on a normal schedule. If not, just bear with us. But we'll get back to it soon. Roxy, tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
Go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Everything you need is over there.
All right. And don't forget, if you do listen to us on Apple and iTunes, don't forget to give us a nice rate and review over there. Just want to say another quick thank you, Jeff Svoboda, for coming on to Meet the Littles. Lots of fun there. And thank you, Brad Weiss, episode 59, for our jingle this episode.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. All right, Roxy. And if they need a book, where do they go?
Go to aaronsbooks.com.
And the most important thing is, if you are out shopping online tonight,
don't forget to
use the code, people!
Bye!
Roots of the Blue Jackets.
Hashtag not a sponsor.
Do you remember anything last night? I walked into the room and held you tight. Too blind to see the shadows on the candlelight. And He walked away, the yellow room turned blue. I fell in love with you. Wake up, let's run around. Gonna take you all the crummy places that I found in this movie town. And I thought that I was special, but I'm not. I was nothing new, and you never forgot. But the scene was set on moonlit paper ground. And we danced, though our footsteps never made a sound. Never made a sound. Wake up, let's run around. Gonna take you all the crummy places that I found in this movie town. If I'm wrong, if this is once in a lifetime or a sailor song, and I don't care if it's forever or one night stand, let the string man play the rubber band. I'll take it as I can, I will understand. Wake up, let's run around. Gonna take you all crummy places that I found in this movie town. Wake up.
The Loyal Littles Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles Podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
A champion again!
Oh yeah!